You're listening to SBS News. Queensland's Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk is under attack from the Coalition for expressing concerns about the impact of COVID-19 on unvaccinated children under the age of 12. She's requested updated modelling from the Doherty Institute, which she can share with her Cabinet colleagues and Queenslanders to guide decision-making on reopening the state. Australia currently has no plans to vaccinate children under 12, but the Premier is wondering whether it should, based on events in the United States.
We only have to look at the US, where it is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And, Mr Speaker, from what reports of people who were telling me when I was meeting with them recently in Tokyo, is that children, as they are unprotected, there has not been the research findings about whether or not they can be vaccinated, are basically all wearing masks through airports, to childcare centres and to different schools, Mr Speaker. Now, Mr Speaker, unless there is an answer on how these young people are going to be vaccinated, you are putting this most vulnerable population at risk.
Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Paul Kelly, says so far in Australia, there have only been three children under the age of 12 admitted to intensive care out of a total of 3,815 cases and no deaths in under 12s. He stressed the available data around the world shows that COVID-19 is less severe in children. Several members of the Coalition have criticised the Queensland Premier's demand, including Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt.
There have been comments about vaccinating under 12s. There have been no vaccinations that have been approved and no national programs, of which we are aware, that have commenced anywhere in the world.
While that's true, trials are underway in the United States for under 12s, and President Joe Biden has suggested they could receive COVID-19 vaccinations this year. A former head of the Food and Drug Administration, now on the board of Pfizer, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, has told CNBC he expects emergency use approval for 5 to 11-year-olds by year's end. And he says the vaccine could eventually be approved for children under the age of 5.
If we continue to see these accelerating rates of infections in kids, particularly as the Delta variant moves to the Northeast, I think there could be more pressure to try to make an earlier authorization of a vaccine to make it available for children age 5 to 11. We're talking here about the vaccine for kids age 5 to 11. The vaccine for kids ages 2 to 5, the data on that won't be submitted till November. So that's further behind. The development on that is further behind. That's a lower dose than the vaccine that's going to be used in children age 5 to 11.
New South Wales is the first state in Australia to have administered a first dose to 70% of eligible people aged 16 and over. The state recorded another 1,288 locally acquired cases and 7 deaths, taking the state's COVID-linked death toll to 107. 2 of the 7 deaths were people who acquired their infections while in hospital. And Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chant says both had been fully vaccinated.
A man in his 70s from southwestern Sydney died at Liverpool Hospital, and he acquired his infection at the hospital and is the 12th death linked to this outbreak. He had received both doses of a vaccination. He did have significant underlying conditions. A man in his 80s from Sydney's North Shore died at Hornsby Ku'ringai Hospital, and he acquired his infection at the hospital. He had received both doses of the vaccination, but he had significant underlying conditions.
Premier Gladys Berejiklian says it's important for people to know whether or not someone who died with COVID had underlying health conditions. She stressed some people are just more vulnerable, and especially so when they haven't been vaccinated.
Those risks increase the older you are, whether you have an illness, whether you have a comorbidity. And what we do, of course, when we report the tragic deaths from COVID, we say someone who died with COVID, but sometimes people have underlying conditions or very serious illness, and that's why we're completely transparent.
A funeral director based in the southwest Sydney hotspot suburb of Greenacre, Paul LaHood, says the official records he's been seeing make mention of underlying health conditions.
Most of the death certificates I see have COVID as a secondary cause of death. It basically affects all of their organs and their body can't fight any underlying conditions they may already have.
Paula Hood says relatives of people who die with COVID-19 usually can't see them up close in hospitals. And he says he doesn't allow his clients to view the body of a person who was infected with coronavirus.
It's just too risky. Unfortunately, when people do pass away, their body does produce gases, which then exit the body through the nasal cavity. And once they've been in that body bag for an extended period of time, once you open the body bag, the air comes into the atmosphere around it and there's an increased risk of infection as opposed to even... It's actually a higher risk of infection from a deceased person than from a living person.
Paula Hood says the overall number of deaths since the onset of the pandemic has fallen. He attributes this to people being forced to spend more time at home and so less exposed to illnesses like the flu. Mr. LaHood says his busiest month usually is at the height of winter in August. In August 2019, he says he conducted 32 funerals. In August last year, it dropped to 20, and this August, he did 16. The ACT had 12 locally acquired cases, with the majority infectious in the community. 13 people are in hospital, with 4 in intensive care. Victoria had 176 locally acquired cases, including 93 mystery cases. The state government has halved the interval between the initial and second dose of AstraZeneca from 12 weeks to 6 weeks in all state-run clinics. Acting Chief Health Officer Ben Cowie says people who've already had a first dose will be able to rebook their second dose for an earlier date.
So this change will help us to reach our vaccination targets faster. They will really contribute to the response to community transmission, put a downward pressure on cases, and contribute to protecting our health system as we look after all Victorians.
Victoria's Chief Psychiatrist Neil Coventry says it's been a challenging period for children and teenagers who've spent much of the past 18 months learning from home. He's urging parents and teachers to ensure children get the help they need, especially in groups where such issues are often stigmatised.
We need to have cultural and linguistic sensitivity. We need to make sure we're reaching out and giving information in the language that's appropriate. The ones that concern me are the children who become more withdrawn, who become quiet, who can slip under the radar and don't get picked up.
Dr. Coventry says parents should help their children maintain a normal routine and sleep schedule and regularly speak to them about how they're coping. 36.4% of Australians aged 16 and over are now fully vaccinated. For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Dyatt, SBS News.